I was on, and then I turned it off. So, got that going for me. That's a great way to start, isn't it? Yeah, start by turning everything off. All right, let's start with a little blast from the past. It's one of my favorite things to do because I'm amongst my people and my age group, so I can show things from my childhood and from my college years, and I don't get weird stares. So I'm going to put a picture up here. You guys remember these? Right? Those things came out in 1986, thank you very much. Right? The original Power Bar and wonderful flavors. If you guys remember, how many of you guys used to eat these things when they first came out, right? A couple of you guys, okay? So they had wonderful flavors of chocolate flavor with a U. I guess that's British. They had wonderful flavors of banana. That was one other flavor. They had malt nut, which doesn't sound very appetizing either, but they had all these amazing flavors. And I remember, do you guys remember the first time you guys ate one of those? It was like this, it was pretty disgusting, if we're honest with ourselves. The original Power Bars, when they first came out, it was just a thick version of Laffy Taffy with no real flavor or no consistency or flavor like the Laffy Taffy had. And so I started to, the first time I tried one of these things, these nutrition bars, I was disgusted by them, but I also thought, this is amazing, right? And so I ate a lot of them, and I kind of developed this love for them. Well, the excitement around the Power Bar didn't last too long. After a while, some of the real nutritional experts started to look at these nutritional bars, and we started to realize that there was enough sugar content in these that they were essentially a Snickers bar, is what they were. And so I like to think of it like this. It was basically a candy bar dressed up like a salad for Halloween. I think that's what it was trying to be. It was basically a candy bar. And so Power Bar kind of fell out of good graces with the nutritional community. But it really did, though, start this whole industry of these nutritional bars. And so now here we are some 30 years later after the first Power Bar was introduced. And if you walk into Whole Foods or really any grocery store now, this is what you start to see. We're back in the early 90s. If you want a Power Bar, there was like you had to find that one section in the drugstore next to the Ace bandages where you could find the Power Bars. There were like three of them. Now you walk in, and I was at Whole Foods last week, and it was half of an aisle is devoted to these things. It's an upwards of a $5 billion industry now. There are new nutritional bars coming out all the time, and it's one of those industries and one of those categories that is continuing to grow at 5, even 6% a year, and so there's just more and more of these. There's some doctors that are now calling this the new fast food, is what this is nowadays. So where fast food used to satisfy quick hunger for us, now we're all just packing bars with us, and this is what we do, is we just take nutritional bars with us. And so this has become a big part of our culture, these nutritional bars. This is a big part of what we do with eating. But a lot of us, though, even though these things are such a big industry and they are called nutritional bars, I think a lot of us do know this, that these bars are designed to be a supplement. They are designed to be a supplement to a healthy diet. They're not designed to be a substitute for a healthy diet. And so we all kind of know that if you really want to have a foundation of physical health, you don't find that foundation by just consuming these nutritional bars all the time. Even though they're called nutritional bars, that's not the foundation of physical health. The foundation of physical health is to eat real food. Eat real food, that's the foundation to physical health. These things are designed to be supplements. They're not designed to be substitutes. We all know that if all you did was eat nutrition bars all the time, you wouldn't grow to be more and more healthy. There would be some things missing from your diet. These are designed to be supplements. And I start with that little illustration here tonight because what's true for us physically, that the foundation, there is a foundation to a healthy diet, is also true for us spiritually. So in the same thing that's true in our physical life is also true in our spiritual life. And the fact is this, is that in our spiritual life, there is also a foundation of what makes us healthy, of what is going to grow us, what is going to cause us to grow in our relationship with God. And that foundation is something that we're going to talk about tonight as we jump back into John chapter 15. What we're going to see in this passage as we jump back in there is we're going to learn what the foundation to a healthy spiritual life is. And I think this is going to be an important message for all of us. And here's why, is because I think there are a lot of us in the room tonight that are trying to grow healthy. And we're trying to grow healthy off a steady diet of supplements. And so we're doing something in our spiritual life that we know, or something that we would never do in our physical life, where in our physical life, we would never make nutritional bars our main source of nutrition. We all understand that physically, and we would never do that physically to say, my goal for being healthy is just to eat a lot of nutritional bars. We wouldn't do that physically, but I think spiritually, there's a lot of us in the room tonight that if we really think about it, the foundation of our spiritual life is not real food. That for many of us in this room tonight, the foundation of our spiritual life is supplements. That we are trying to grow healthy spiritually, and we're just eating supplements all the time. And what would be true in our physical life, that if we try to base our health on supplements, we know we wouldn't grow healthy. The same thing is true in our spiritual life, that if all we're consuming is a steady diet of supplements, we're not going to eventually grow in the way that God wants us to grow, in the way that we want to grow. And so we're going to jump back into John chapter 15. And so a couple of weeks ago, if you joined us, we started this little series that we're just calling How to Be Delightful. And we started off last week talking about fruit and how delightful fruit is, right? And how delightful fruit is. And we looked at God's word and how God never said that if you remain in him, you will bear much cauliflower. Right? He said, if you remain in him, you will bear much fruit. And the reason why he uses the word fruit in there is because fruit is delightful, and fruit is one of those metaphors that is to describe our life, that we are to be fruitful. You see it over and over and over again. And one of the areas where you see it is you see it in John chapter 15, in Jesus talking about how we can become fruitful. And as we look through John chapter 15, we just looked through 8 verses, we saw in this little passage that there's 2 primary ways that God is going to make us fruitful, 2 primary ways that God will make us delightful. And so 2 weeks ago, we talked about the first way, and the first way was what? It was the word pruning. All right, so 3 of you remember it, and God bless you. All right, so it was the word pruning. Pruning was what we said, is that God is going to prune, that pruning is crucial as God makes you fruitful. That's what we talked about. And so tonight, as we jump back in to John 15, we're going to see not only the foundation of spiritual health, but this foundation of spiritual health is also in this passage, the second way that God is going to grow us and make us delightful, the way he's going to make us fruitful. So here we go. Let's jump back into this passage. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Let me just read all of these. It says, I am the true vine. This is Jesus talking. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, yet every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now you are already clean because of the words that I have spoken to you. And so that's where we hung out 2 weeks ago, just looking at this idea that in a vine that grows, like in grape vines that grow, that there's this long branch, or there's this vine and then the branches that come out of it, and that a master gardener or a good gardener is going to take away the dead branches because there may be disease in there, and he doesn't want the dead branches to infect the good branches or to infect the vine. And that also a good gardener will take these branches that do produce fruit, and after that fruit has been harvested, he will cut them back a little bit so that the nutrients will be even more focused, and that person or that branch will become even more fruitful. And so we talked about how that's one of the ways that God grows us. He puts us through and allows us to experience situations in our life that we would not choose. And he takes us through these seasons to remind us of these things that we think we need in our life to be fruitful. We realize we don't actually need them. And he shows us time and time again that all we need to live a fruitful life is him, that he is sufficient for us. And so Jesus goes on and he's telling the listeners and he's telling us that this is what's going to happen for us. And then look here in verse 4. And so now he says, remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you're going to bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And so right here, what we see right here in these 8 verses is we see the foundation for a healthy spiritual life. This is the foundation for a healthy spiritual life, and it is also the second way that God wants to grow you and me so that our lives can be more fruitful, so that we can be more delightful. And the foundation of a healthy spiritual life is found in that word that is in there eight times. What word was in there eight times? Remain. Remain. Some of your versions that maybe you read as you were growing up, or a version of this that maybe you've memorized or that you've heard taught, is the word abide. Abide. And so Jesus is basically saying this, is the foundation to a healthy spiritual life is to remain in the vine, is to abide with Jesus. That is the foundation. That is the second way in this passage that we see that God wants to grow us, and he wants us to get this, and so he emphasizes it by using the word eight times as a constant reminder for us of the importance of this. Now, I don't know about you. I don't really use the word abide very often. Before I came a Christian, I never used the word abide. What was the movie we talked about? Was it The Big Lebowski? Was that the movie that something about the dude abides? I've seen that meme on the internet somewhere. I have no clue what it means. I haven't seen that movie. So in popular culture, the word abide got popular there a little bit when The Big Lebowski came out. But this is not one of those common words that we use. And really what it means, what the word abide means, which is why I think the NIV, when it updated in 2011, used the word remain, because that's probably a more common word that we would all use to describe what this word means. But to abide means this. It means to stay in the same place for an extended period of time. That's what it means. You stay in one place for a long period of time. Now, thinking about it in this agricultural context that Jesus is using, that one branch stays connected to one vine for an extended period of time. It just remains there. It doesn't move with the whims of the world. It doesn't move with passing moods or emotions. It doesn't move with circumstances. It doesn't move when trends start to go in different ways. That it just says, as for me, I'm going to resolve to remain connected to Jesus. I'm going to abide here. This is where I'm going to make my home. This is the foundation of my spiritual life, is that I am a branch. Jesus is the vine. And if I want to do anything of spiritual value, I need to be able to remain connected to Jesus. And so that's the foundation of a healthy spiritual life, is abiding with Jesus. And so practically speaking, again, just kind of using our common language, here's what this means, is that the foundation of your spiritual health is a vibrant, healthy, consistent, and regular relationship with Jesus, where you are just with him on a consistent, regular basis, as often as you possibly can, and you remain with him as long as you possibly can for an extended period of time. You have this vibrant, personal relationship with Jesus. That's what it means to abide. Now, some of you, when I say that, some words may be popping up in your mind of going, okay, you're maybe even starting to roll your eyes a little bit and go, okay, I know exactly what the application is for this message, and the application is to do this thing that we call in church quiet time, right? And I think the whole idea of quiet time is one of the worst PR and marketing hijacks of any amazingly helpful concept that has ever happened in the history of all PR and marketing programs or anything like that. That this idea of abiding has somehow been hijacked by the church and has been dumbed down into this idea of quiet times is just ludicrous, and it has nothing to do with what Jesus is talking about here. I don't know what you think about when you think about quiet times, but what I think about, the first thing that pops into my mind is this guy, Ned Flanders from The Simpsons, okay? Nobody wants to be him. I think about Ned Flanders is what I think about when I think about quiet times. Or when I think about quiet times, I think about you're going to be obligated to start wearing new types of t-shirts, where maybe you wear t-shirts like this, you know? God wants you to be saved, and all of those other bad Christian t-shirts. If you are looking for a brain break tonight, if you have some insomnia, just Google bad Christian t-shirts. There are quite a few people that have a lot of time and love to put together their lists of all the bad Christian t-shirts. I could have wasted a lot of time with all of my favorite ones that were up there, but there's a lot of that. It's just this cliche, hollow, cheesy, youthful sounding thing that you need to have a quiet time in order to grow in your relationship with God. Let me just be clear. What Jesus is talking about here is he is not talking about a quiet time. A quiet time brings up this idea of like this heartless religion, this religious obligation. What it means to remain, what Jesus is talking about here with abiding, has nothing to do with heartless religion and obligation. What Jesus is talking about here is the delight that comes from an intimate relationship with somebody who loves you deeply. That's the heart or the foundation of spiritual health, is that you just have this deep, abiding relationship with Jesus, this personal relationship with him. It's not just a quiet time. Jesus doesn't want us to have quiet times. He wants us to abide with him. I think the problem for a lot of us is this, is the problem for many of us is that we are not making abiding with Jesus the foundation of our relationship with God. That for many of us, what we're doing is that we're getting by on supplements. We're not eating of this healthy diet of just abiding with Jesus. What we're surviving off of is we're surviving off of supplements. And you may be sitting there going, okay, Adam, well, what's a supplement? What would be a supplement in this context? I get supplements from the food and the health perspective, from my physical health. It's all those other things that are sold in all those middle aisles of Whole Foods, right? With all the pills and then all the oils and then all the bars and all that kind of stuff. Like I can understand what the supplements are in my physical life, but what are supplements in my spiritual life? Well, supplements in your spiritual life are things that talk about God, things that try to point you to God, things that try to make much of God, but are not God, and are areas where maybe you're not meeting God. Let me just push in a little bit more. You could make the argument that right now where you are, this is a supplement. This is not a substitute for your faith. If this is the only time during the week that you're going to be thinking about God and thinking about your relationship with Jesus, then you are treating supplements. You're treating a supplement as the main source of your nutrition, of your spiritual nutrition, and it's just not going to work. Supplements are all over the place. And just like it is so easy for us physically to go out there and find supplements right now, it is incredibly easy for us to find spiritual supplements all the time. There are ministries happening every night of the week that you can use as a supplement. There are more podcasts available for you to use as a supplement. There are more books available for you to use as supplements. There are more sermons that you can watch. There's more YouTube channels that you can watch. There's more television channels that you can watch. There's more blogs that you can read. You can get by on thinking, or you can like kind of fool yourself sometimes into thinking that you are living a spiritually healthy life, when the fact of the matter is you're not abiding with Jesus. There's not a personal relationship with him. You're just hearing what everybody else is saying about Jesus. And you're treating it as this is your abiding relationship, and it's not. Jesus wants you to abide with him. And if we try to survive off of mere supplements, sooner or later, we're gonna realize that there's a deficiency in our relationship. We're not as healthy as we want to be, not as healthy as God wants us to be. And it's never been easier to try to survive off of supplements or to consume supplements than it is today in the church, especially here in Dallas, Texas in 2019. Some of you may be sitting there going, well, Adam, you know, like, well, what's so bad about supplements? Like, what's wrong with them? I mean, aren't these good things? Absolutely, they're good things. Absolutely, these are good. Just like a nutritional bar is good when it's a supplement to a healthy diet, not a substitute for a healthy diet. In the same way, these supplements are good when they supplement your abiding relationship with Jesus, but they're not going to be able to do what they're intended to do if you're treating them as a substitute for your abiding relationship with Jesus. I think one of the other things that can happen with supplements is this, is that what ends up happening is that we become people who know a lot about God, but we really don't know God. We know a lot of facts about him. We're involved in a lot of activity that is about him, We can do a lot of religious things that are trying to make much of him, but the fact of the matter is we're not getting to know him anymore. There's not an abiding relationship. I mean, just think about it. I was even thinking about when we were singing up here. Think about all the religious activity that we can be involved in these supplemental activities. Think about all of it, and think about if you took the word Jesus out and just substitute it with somebody else who's a human. Okay, so let's just use, for example, my third grader, Joshua. Right, so let's just say for a second, I've used this illustration before, and I think it's worth repeating. Let's just say that we came in here, and this was a gathering to make much of Joshua, okay? And so we sang songs about Joshua, and Braun got up here, and he talked about, hey, this is Gather. We're so glad you're here. We're here to make much of Joshua Tarno. And then there was a testimony where John got up here and he talked about how impactful Joshua Tarno has been in his life. And then, you know, we sang these songs, and then I got up here and I opened up some of Joshua Tarno's readings or his writings, and we started reading from it, you know. And I'm like, oh, here's something really interesting that Joshua has said recently. And I'm up here talking about Joshua. And then at the end of the night, when we tell you to go, we'll talk about other meetings that are going to happen where we're going to get to know Joshua more. So, hey, there's some Joshua groups that are out there. And what we do is we get together during the week and we make much of Joshua. We talk about Josh, and we look back over his life, and we open up his words and read his writings, and it goes on. And then, you know, maybe on August 23rd, Joshua's birthday, we all give gifts to each other on Joshua's birthday. Right, and it's a holiday, and it's the season that we all look forward to, and we sing all these songs about Joshua, and it's just great, and we write books about Joshua. We write a book called Joshua Calling and all this kind of stuff, right? And so we did all of this stuff. We sang songs, we read his readings or his writings, we had groups that talked about him. We bought each other gifts on his birthday. Would you know my son any better? No, you'd know a lot about him, but you would not know him. How are you going to get to know my son? You have to spend time with him. You do. Not your friend, not your parents, not your community group, not people that you work with, not your own kids. You have to spend time with him. The exact same thing is true in our relationship with Jesus. There's all these supplements all over the place, and if we're not careful, sometimes we start to substitute these things and think we've got a real abiding relationship with Jesus. And we don't. We're taking these supplements and we're trying to substitute them out. And so what does abiding look like practically? What does it look like? There's a part of me that wants to give you a long list, and then there's a part of me that just doesn't want to give you a list. And I think I'm going to err on the side of not giving you a list. Here's just some observations about what it looks like to abide. There's three things that I have seen that work really, really well for people that have a consistent abiding relationship with God. And that is, that's a Bible, that's a journal, and that is some sort of legal addictive stimulant. Like coffee, Dr. Pepper, green tea, whatever your jam is. Those like I'm amazed at how that combination of those three things really are some of the permission to play type things that will help you just develop this abiding relationship with Jesus. And here's what I mean a little bit more. It just means you wake up, and at some point during your day, you open up God's word and you read it and you think about it. And then maybe you get a pen and you open up some paper or you get that journal out and you just kind of write down some thoughts on that thing that you just got done reading. You think about how this maybe is applying to your life or how something is true in your life or maybe something is not true in your life, and you just meditate on it. You fill your mind with it and you think about it. At some point, there's going to be this conversation that you're going to be having with God where you're talking to him and you're telling him things that you're concerned about. You're praising him for things that you're grateful for. You're bringing your concerns to him, your requests to him, and there's just you're talking to him. And then there's probably going to be just some quiet where you're listening. And you're going to do that over and over and over and over and over again. You're just going to remain. And sometimes it might be 15, 20 minutes that you get to do that, and sometimes it might be 2 hours. Sometimes it might be 5 minutes, like three or four times during the day. Sometimes it might be a little bit in the morning. Sometimes it might be a little bit in the morning and a little bit at night. Some of you, it may not happen in the morning at all. It may happen all at night. For some of you, it may happen in the middle of the afternoon. It doesn't matter when it happens. What matters is that you remain for a long period of time, because it's a relationship. And the secret to this relationship is the secret to all relationships. And you know what the secret to all relationships is? The secret to all relationships is quantity. Quantity of time, not quality of time. What we all know, those of us that we have healthy relationships, we all know this is true, is that you do not get quality time without quantity. And so think quantity first. Don't just think, I want the conditions to be perfect. I want to make sure it's going to be uninterrupted. I want to make sure that I have nothing else going on. I want the conditions to be perfect. And so what I'll do is I'll just do 5 hours on a Saturday, and then hopefully that'll keep me going for the rest of the week, because then that's the best quality time. Hey, that's great to get some quality time and some extended time on a Saturday, but think quantity. Because if you had somebody else in your life, a close relationship in your life, and all you did was spend 5 hours one day a week with them, I think you would know that relationship's not going to grow. There's a consistency that comes with abiding. And so it's usually just some combination of all of that stuff. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with God. And so you're spending time with him. And so I'll close with this before we dismiss you guys to go up and have some table discussions. And, this is, John, you set the stage for us that this is a place where we can confess things freely. And so I'd love to be able to confess something to you guys too. And what I would love to be able to confess to you guys tonight is this, is that I've been watching some stuff on YouTube lately. It's a little bit embarrassing, as I've been watching professional bodybuilders and what they eat every day. This is a real thing. You can laugh at that if you want to. This is a real thing. These professional bodybuilders will just record themselves eating food all day. I don't know. It like all strange addictions, I don't know how it started. But all I know is that I was on YouTube one night, and this was fed to me, and it's like, see what this guy eats every day, or said some crazy number, like see how he consumes 25,000 calories in one day. And I'm like, that sounds like a great use of 7 minutes. Let's go. And I watched one, and YouTube kind of figures you out, and that algorithm, that's a whole nother sermon on that algorithm, but that algorithm started to figure me out, and it was like, oh, he liked that one. He watched the whole thing. We'll feed him another one the next day. And I'm like, that guy's huge. Let's watch that one, okay? And I'm watching these videos over and over again, and sometimes I'll go on a binge where I'll watch 4 or 5 of them in a row. And the reason I'm watching these things is there is this part of me that still thinks one day I'm going to get huge. That day ain't going to come. I promise you that, right? This body is deteriorating. Hopefully the person is developing, but the muscles are not going to get any bigger. This is about as big as it's going to get. But so I watch them just wondering, and one day, am I going to be huge like this 22-year-old? And the answer is no. And then the other reason that I watch these things is because I'm wondering, do they have a secret? Have they figured something out? Have they figured out a shortcut? And I've watched 15, 20, 30, 40, I mean, who's counting, really? I've watched a lot of these videos, and here is what I have determined, is that not one of them knows a trick. They all eat the exact same thing every single day. Here it is. You want to write it down? Here's what they eat. They eat vegetables. They eat meat. They eat an obscene number of eggs, okay? They only drink water, and they eat so much either oatmeal or cream of wheat. That's what they do, all right? Sometimes they'll put raisins in there. Sometimes they'll put dried cranberries. That's all they eat, and they eat like 7 meals of that a day, okay? There are no secrets. There are no secrets. And I think of that, and I want to close with that image, because I think the same thing So it's highly unimpressive is what it really boils down to of what they eat. It's not very impressive. There are no secrets. And so let's just suspend our imagination. Let's just keep going for a second. If there was like, if you read through Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, or you think about people who are in your life, who are the spiritual giants in your life. I think about the spiritual giants in my life. I think about a guy named John Reeves, who was my pastor in college that taught me so much about the faith, who's a faithful church planner and still to this day is planting churches all up and down the East Coast, a faithful, faithful man of God. I think about my friend Bob Strickland, who our lives intersected when I first moved to Atlanta, and he taught me how to read God's word, and he was such a faithful leader in the church, one of the godliest men that I know. I think about my friend here that many of you guys know, Ethan Pope, who leads the MoneyWise ministry here at Watermark and just a faithful member, he and his wife Janet. I think about some of these spiritual giants in my life. If they had a YouTube channel, if there was a YouTube channel that showed their daily abiding, I think most of the time we'd be wildly unimpressed because there's no secret. I think what we'd see that they do is the same thing over and over and over and over again. And there's some variations where it may be at night or it may be in the morning or it may be in the afternoon, but they are reading God's word, thinking about it, meditating on it. They're processing their thoughts and their heart and their emotions, and they're writing things down, and they're as they're contemplating, they're talking to God, and they're listening. And they do that over and over and over every day. And all of those people, they are delightful. Their lives are so fruitful. And so as we kind of put a little bookend here, or put a little period at the end of this two messages here in John chapter 15, we talked about that God wants us to be fruitful and wants us to be delightful. And I think we all do. We all want to be delightful. And so if we want to be delightful, the secret of the vine is this. Is to remain in him, is to spend time with him. If you remain in him and he in you, then you will bear much fruit. You remain in him. And he's going to make you fruitful by abiding with him, and he's going to make you fruitful by pruning and showing you that he is all you need day in and day out. That's how he's going to make you fruitful. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you haven't left us alone, that you have given us the gift of one another, that you have given us the gift of your word, the gift of your spirit. And Lord, I'm so grateful that you don't call us to heartless religious obligation, but you call us into a relationship with you. And God, I know in our efficiency mindset and our wanting to find shortcuts in so many areas of life that we are prone to want to look for efficient shortcuts to growing in our relationship with you. And we just want to confess that tonight. We want to repent of that. And we just want to marvel in the simplicity of what you've called us to, which is a deep abiding relationship with you. You want to spend time with us. And you want to spend time with us because you love us and you want to grow us in that way. And that's how we're going to become fruitful. And that's how we're going to become delightful. And we want to be delightful. And so God, whatever it is that we need to do to turn down the volume of life so that we can remain with you for an extended period of time, I pray that you'll help us to do that, please. I pray, God, that we will just make the decision to be with you. And that as we do that, our hearts change and our character changes and our lives change and we start to love others better. And that maybe one day we will be a spiritual giant to somebody else or will be described as being delightful to others, and it has nothing to do with us and everything to do with you being the amazing master gardener and us remaining in your vine. And so we say thank you for this truth, and it's in Jesus' name we pray.